chapter 31. I think most of you know this to be the chapter where a king's mother advises him to be careful in his choice of a wife. And notice the monogamy that's inferred here, right? In Proverbs 31, she says that, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? She doesn't say who can find virtuous women. So she is advising her kingly son, on marrying one woman. For the sake of time, we're not going to read this last chapter. I think most of you know the chapter, and certainly as we read over the verses, they're very familiar to you. She cautions him in the first 9 verses to be careful about not giving his strength to women or to strong drink. And if there's ever a text of Scripture that forbids drink, we have it here. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink or beer. So at least for leaders, we have abstinence being mentioned in the Scriptures. And then verses 10 to 31 give a description of a virtuous, a godly woman. And I'd like us to focus on that this evening. In my message this evening, where it says, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? And then, especially verses 30 and 31, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Simply this thought, make sure that you have beauty on the inside. And that is not just a message for the females this evening. It is a message for all of us. Make sure that we have beauty on the inside. This could not wait for Mother's Day. I didn't feel that we could depart from Proverbs as we've been considering pearls from Proverbs on the Sabbath afternoons or evenings for some time, that we could wait for Mother's Day. And you know my practice, I don't feel slavish that I have to preach a message for mothers on Mother's Day or for fathers on Father's Day. We aren't bound by special days in the world. So here's a message for mothers and for women on a day that is not Mother's Day. But again, we can apply this to all of us in a general way, can we not? First of all, I'd like us to just consider the different types of people that the king's mother says that the virtuous woman affects, and to remind us of our influence in society and in the home and in the church. I think we can see, and we sometimes miss this, that a virtuous woman, and we might just say a virtuous man, is one who brings joy to in-laws. Maybe we miss that. Verses 1 to 9 indicate that it's the king's mother that's giving him advice on the choice of his wife, and of course the rest of the chapter. So what does that indicate? That when he finds this woman, his wife, that she's going to bring joy to the king's mother. And as you understand, when we marry into our in-laws' home as well. We marry into their family. And so we have two families. And we need to appreciate that. And we need to cultivate good and godly relationships with our spouse's family. And for the king Lemuel here, which may have been a nickname, another name for Solomon, we're not sure. So if that's the case, Bathsheba would be the one that was gave her son this advice. But it's anonymous. She is certainly indicating that, would you please marry someone that will be a compliment to your family and will be a joy to your father and me? And that is something that we should all consider when we advise our children and when we choose to marry ourselves. We should always resist problems that can occur with the opposite families. We should be thankful to the Lord that He would join us to another. When we marry a husband or a wife, we are marrying into that person's dear father's home and mother's home and siblings' home. And we should cultivate a godly relationship. Obviously, we can all be problematic, can't we? And we should do the best we can as parents and as family members of our children's choice to, what would we say, to facilitate joy, to facilitate their happiness. But being said, all of us should work on facilitating the happiness of one another. We should love one another. And then verses 10 to 15, she is to one who compliments her husband, one who compliments her spouse. And of course, in Genesis, it says that the woman is a helpmeet or a helper fit for her husband. That is very important. It's not a selfish relationship. It's not a one-way relationship. We should complement one another in the marital relationship. The third section speaks of her family, one who satisfies her family, especially verses 13 to 15. Where it talks about her household, and that is mentioned a couple times, and her children. One who satisfies the family. Fourthly, one who appreciates servers. I think we can apply this in many ways. Obviously, this was a home that had servants. Verse 15 says, she rises while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household. But then it says that she remembers her maidens, her servers. And of course, we can broaden that. You and I are always being served some way or another by many individuals out there. Policemen, cashiers, salespeople, street workers, government officials. I don't think there's ever a week that any of us don't brush shoulders with people who serve us. And we should be those who appreciate. It says she remembers a portion. She reserves a portion for her maidens. She treats her servers with love and with respect. And the Lord often tells us about that, doesn't he? Even in the fourth commandment, it talks about remember your servant. And even talks about giving your beast rest. I try to give our four beasts now fresh water on Saturday evening and make sure that their litter box is clean. And I feel like that's part of the obligation of the fourth commandment. I would never want, of course, I don't want my animals or my cats to be tromping in feces anyway, but I do think of that. I think, you know, it's the Lord's day, and the Lord talked about giving them rest and remembering them as well, and so I always try to make sure their food containers are filled and their water is fresh and their litter boxes are clean, be that as it may. I'm remembering the beasts, so anyway, they serve us in a way. They make us happy. Today, the cat jumped on my desk while I was reading, and that made me happy that she felt confident enough that she would get so close and anyway, entertain me. Verse 20, one who remembers the poor and the needy. She stretches out her hand to the poor. She reaches forth her hands to the needy. We ought not to forget those who do not have things as you and I are privileged and blessed. Remember, Paul was told by the apostles to remember the poor, and he had already begun to do so. And we need to keep that in mind. There are many, many brothers and sisters, let alone lost people, that may only be able to eat one meal a day, or their living situations are very difficult. And let's not forget these organizations that help the poor and the needy. Let us not forget them. And so a godly person is one who remembers those who are less fortunate. Sixthly, one who reveres God. Certainly last but not least, as far as those relationships are concerned. In a sense, this guarantees all the previous ones, doesn't it? A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Verse 30. And the last thing that I think that maybe we forget, it's like the last verse takes us beyond this life. Certainly to the end of the life, this life, but it takes us beyond into the next life. Give her of the fruit of her hand. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Don't you sense that there's an intimation of the future? The Bible talks about even like Abel, where it says that he being dead yet speaks, and talks about in Revelation their works do follow them. And it's a verse that seems to indicate may she be rewarded for a virtuous life. In a sense that she has a legacy that she leaves behind, that people are remembering her virtue, remembering her unselfishness, remembering her kindness. And of course, to be able to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," will be worth it all, won't it? As we have spent our lives on others for the glory of God. It's a futuristic thought, if you will. Let her works praise her in the gates. Give her the reward or the inheritance she has earned. Now, yes, sure, let there be many tokens of acknowledgement. I mean, certainly it mentions that. It means that on the surface. We should appreciate, we should give tokens of acknowledgement to those who serve us, to those we serve. To facilitate their lives in the Lord, to facilitate their godliness. We should do what we can to acknowledge those who encourage, those who help, those who serve the Lord, those who labor in a way that benefits us in the church, in the home. Obviously, this would mean, for instance, bringing flowers to your wife once in a while. She likes flowers. Maybe she likes something else. Maybe she'd rather have dirt, I don't know, so she can plant something. Or maybe she'd rather like you to take her out for an ice cream or something. Or your children appreciating their attitude and their, that they were corrected, for instance, and they had a good attitude about it. One of the students in the bus. And it's a no-no. It's taboo to throw anything out the window. And I looked in the rearview mirror and something was flung out. And he was caught. And he said, I threw a penny out. And I was going to write him up. It happened over a bridge. I said, what if somebody was underneath the bridge? And maybe I overreacted, but my wife was, she's my conscience sometimes. She said, you know, what was his attitude? And I said, you know, he actually had a good attitude. He didn't roll his eyes. He didn't huff and puff. And he didn't tell everybody around him what I said. And she said, well, why don't you give him a break? And I thought, I'll agree with that. You know, how often does the Lord show kindness to us when we deserve chastening? And so, you know, it actually lit up his morning, I felt. Maybe not. But I said as he got on the bus, you know, I changed my mind. I'm not going to turn you in. I feel like your attitude was very good. And you know, he's been different. And you know, the Lord uses that. But how does this apply? That we acknowledge, you know, good attitudes. We acknowledge those who serve. We acknowledge those who show progress in the things of God. So certainly the virtuous woman, or the virtuous man for that matter, should be shown tokens of acknowledgement, appreciation, verbal praise, letters, notes, and so on. But hereafter, is not the Lord going to acknowledge a virtuous person? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And again, all beauty in whatever way on the surface is going to fade. It's going to fade. Hair turns gray, or hair flies away. But beauty on the inside can just get more beautiful, right? Just compare pictures from yesteryear, we know we change. But the Bible says that we change for the better on the inside if we grow in the Lord. He changes, we advance from glory to glory, from one stage to another in Christ. But I close with these thoughts as I looked at the different relationships that the virtuous woman develops, and the different relationships that she moves in on a day-to-day basis. I think the Scripture gives us some indication of what that virtue entails as we look throughout the Scripture. I'm sure it's not going to be thorough, comprehensive, but for example, integrity, verse 11. Her husband safely trusts in her so that he has no need of spoil. Is that the kind of character that we are developing? That people trust us? That we have integrity? That our word is true? Faithfulness, verse 12. Faithfulness. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. All the days of her life. Consistency. Faithfulness. Industry, verse 13. She seeks wool. And that's throughout this chapter. The Bible indicates that a work ethic, industry, is a virtue. The Lord tells us that we are to work in this world. And we see this, I mean, you can almost sweat reading this. You can just see this woman just day after day after day being a woman of industry with a work ethic. Urgency, diligence, verse 15. She rises while it is yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Consistency, again, a little bit different. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. We might say progress as well. She's not idle and she's not weakening in her virtue. She is strengthening. She's getting godlier and better. She's advancing from day to day. What would you say of verse 18? Here's one self-conscious statement about her. She perceives that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She's conscientious. I mean, she knows that the labor that she's engaged in, she's taking inventory of her life. Is my life progressive? Is it helping people? She's not just blindly doing things and nobody's really being helped and affected. And there are people like that. They're busy, but their busyness is not a productive busyness. It can be more self-centered. And she's taking notes. She's conscientious. She's accountable. She's taking inventory. You know, maybe I need to change if I feel that people aren't being helped by my labor. You know, I may be giving this or that, but is that gift what they really need? And so she's taking stock of her life. And I think that's a wise thing, a virtuous thing for us. Are we just spinning our wheels? Or are we being productive in our Christian life? Is our gift being exercised to the point where people are profiting from it? And being helped and being encouraged and growing in the Lord? As it were, what's our batting average, so to speak? She's efficient. Efficiency, verse 19. She lays her hands at the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. But again, here's another text referring to her diligence and her work ethic. Charity and kindness, verse 20. She stretches out her hand to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. That's kind of in the middle of everything, in the middle of the chapter. You know, none of us can really be a virtuous person if we don't have the love of Christ, if we don't have love for one another. Remember, love never fails, but lovelessness will fail. And the Bible says we can go to the nth degree of sacrifice, but if it is without love, it is unproductive. Decency, verse 22, she makes herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. This is not saying that her life is characterized by luxury, but by decency, and even we might say modesty. Humility, she has a testimony, verse 23, her husband is known in the gates, not she's known in the gates. I mean, she's quietly known, like Ruth, the godly person. As a virtuous person, but it's others that are by their association with her known. And isn't that the way it is with a real humble, godly person, that they compliment others? Others are benefited by them. And as you look back, you say, you know, it was my wife, it was my brother, my sister, that really helped me advance in my life. If it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be what I am, or whatever we might say. How often have you said that? Has someone said that who has had a successful life in something? If it wasn't for my mother, if it wasn't for my wife, if it wasn't for my coach, I wouldn't be where I am today, or whatever. And here it says her husband's known in the gates. Now it can be for good or for ill. Do people say, well, you know who her husband is? Or do they say, you know where her husband is? Or they, you know who his wife is? Godly person. Here the husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land, that their respect for him is enhanced by his godly wife. And may the Lord help us all to enhance each other's testimony in this world by our association with each other. Spirituality, verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. And of course, in her tongue is she opens her mouth with wisdom. It's all along the way, and her tongue is a law of kindness. I wrote superiority in verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. So many. And here are saying many have done virtuously, many have done well, but then there are others that advance to the next tier. Now, of course, all women would love to be included in the first part of verse 29. We know that the Scripture says in many other places, many daughters have done unvirtuously. Many daughters have wasted their life. Many daughters might be like the book of Proverbs says that a woman without discretion is like a jewel or a ring in a pig's nose. What a terrible thought that is. And we've seen that, haven't we, in life. And so many have become, because of their vulgarity, and because of their uncleanness, and because of their ungodliness, just been non-entities in this world, forgotten long ago after they were deceased. It's a blessing to be included in the first portion, isn't it? I want to live virtuously. I want to do well in this world for the Lord. But then there are others that go beyond. They go the second mile. And we would all want to be second mile Christians, but thou excellest them all. Gravity, verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, reverence, she loves the Lord and she fears the Lord. She respects the Lord. She's a woman of prayer. She's a woman of godliness. She's a woman of the Scriptures and glory. Verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And she's glorified. Certainly, she advances to the final stage, but it's appropriate. The way that she's lived is that she's prepared for eternity. She's lived with heaven emanating from her life. And all these relationships, these virtues, these aspects of virtues should characterize our relationship in our marriage, our parenting in our family, our relationship with so many servers in this world, our relationship with our in-laws, our relationship with the poor and needy, our relationship with God, and our graduation into eternity. You know, we'll have all these aspects of virtue, will we not, in eternity? May we live with eternity stamped upon our brows in this world. Make sure that beauty is on the inside. Because beauty on the outside is going to fade. But true godliness on the inside will only get better and better.